Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Parkites Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, my good friend and partner on this program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville. And that's where we're airing from today, from Studio 6 in Stephenville, Texas. And we're delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We're broadcasting on the HPR network from KTX 97.7 FM and also KNNK 100.5 FM, and also on internet radio, knowthetruthradio.org. And you can also listen in on your TuneIn app. Just type in Know the Truth Radio in the search section, and you'll be right there, and you'll be able to listen to us from really anywhere in the world. Now remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And you can also tune in and on the internet and be involved in the chat room that's taking place at this very minute. And we've had several people who chime in the chat room, and it's very good, but we would encourage you to call in. We're trying to learn our new phone system the way we have it here, and I sure would appreciate some trial and efforts here in that regard. We want to also talk about our additional sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and also the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. And again, we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We also want to remind you that our motto is and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. You know, David, America has become a nation that no longer fears God.
No doubt.
But you know, that's nothing new, is it?
No, it's not. And we can go through biblical history and we can read about how God's people over and over and over refused to fear God and refused to fear His Word. And even after they were abundantly blessed, Tom, they soon forget because of all of the great blessings and because God has blessed them so much and given them so much, they soon forget God. They fear, they do not fear the Lord. They do not fear His Word.
You know, that's a common theme really throughout the prophets, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Time and time again, Israel had no longer feared God. You know, and we don't fear God, we're not going to be doing His commandments, right?
Right.
You know, fearing God and keeping His commandments, and we're going to see later on, that's what we're all about here. But let's look at an example as we begin our thoughts today on has America become a nation that no longer fears God. Look at an example of this very thing taking place in the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles with you, we encourage you to open up to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. And you might recognize this chapter. Sometimes I have written in my Bible, Jehoiakim's Penna. And that's what we're going to see taking place here. God told Jeremiah to write in a book all the things that Israel had done against God and the wrongs they were involved in. And so Jeremiah began to use a man by the name of Barak to write all these words down. And then once these words were written down, he was to take it to the people. Baruch took them and he read these to the common people. The common people then went and told these words that was read to them to the princesses, and they didn't really believe what was going on here. They wanted to hear for themselves, didn't they, David?
Absolutely.
And so then Baruch read it to them. And then, David, these princesses got these words and had them read before Jehoiakim. And something very significant happened there, didn't it, David?
Right. The king did not want to hear what God had to say.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people today, right?
Like an awful lot of people today. It wasn't that he was ignorant of what God wanted him to know.
Mm-hmm.
But God specifically told Jeremiah to write these words, to read them before the people and the princes and the king. And now the word has come to the king, and he does not like what he hears. So he sends his man, his right-hand man, Jehudi. And Jehudi went and took the book, and he brought it, and he read it in the ears of the king, verse 21, and in the ears of all of the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, or three or four pages, he cut it with the penknife, cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And verse 24 is the key, and this is where we really want to focus tonight. It says, yet they were not afraid. They, the kings and the princes, they were not afraid, nor rent their garment. They had no remorse, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all of these words.
We're living in a society, David, where this is exactly true of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
A nation that no longer is afraid to go against God. That is, well, no longer afraid to cut up the Word of God with their ideas. And
right.
We see it happening every single day. And this is happening starting with our national leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's beginning to filter down to our local governments, who no longer fear God, who no longer revere His Word, who no longer care anything about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they might as well just cut it up.
Right.
Just like they're doing here, because they are, in essence, doing that very same thing.
Essentially, our leadership is cutting up God's Word in favor of man's law.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that Jehoiakim took his penknife and cut up God's Word. And so Jehoiakim got the idea that if he could destroy this material copy, that would do away with God's Word. But he was wrong, wasn't he?
That's right. Not going to do any good. You know, it says there in that same chapter in Jeremiah chapter 36, beginning in verse 27, then the word of God came unto Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the word which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And you know, it's interesting, David, that at the very last phrase in that chapter,
mm-hmm.
he even adds words to it.
Right.
And so even though they burned it up, and, you know, we talked about earlier today, David, how it looks like it took them a year to maybe write this thing.
Right.
And now they burn it up, and now he says, write it again. And so it didn't matter, David, if people begin to destroy God's Word. It's always going to be there.
Right.
You know, Jesus says something about that, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
You know, God's Word is going to keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
And really, David, it's up to people like me and you and people listening in our audience and people who are really concerned with the Word of God and the truths from God's Word is to keep pushing the Word of God on the people. Is that not what's going on right here in Jeremiah chapter 36?
Sure is. And God is going to make sure that Jeremiah doesn't give it up. There's no doubt he was discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Just like many of people are today who would like to go out and to convince people about the truth of God's Word, and people will reject it over and over and over and over again in the same way that Jehoiakim was rejecting the Word that was brought to him.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it doesn't make any difference what you do and how hard you work at it. If they reject it, God says you go back there again. You go do it again.
Exactly.
And you can just put yourself in Jeremiah's place and just think, what he told him to write about was 20 years worth of 20 years worth of evil doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so through inspiration, he writes 20 years worth of evil doing, which took a year to get it all put together, and he burned it up in one afternoon.
Exactly. Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And we're asking the question tonight, has America become a nation that no longer fears God?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we'll answer that in the affirmative, will we not, David?
No doubt. No doubt.
And
just like this king and his princes, mm-hmm. when they were burning all of this up, it says there they were not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of God's word. They're not afraid of God's majesty. They're not afraid of God's power, and they're not afraid of the word and the power that exists with that word of God.
You know, we need to have a fear of God's word, and we
mm-hmm.
need to have the proper respect for God's word, because Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. David, that's why we need to give respect and awe and revere the word of God, because one day we're going to be judged by it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be judged by what any president says or what any Congress says or what mom and daddy said or what the common view of the day is. We're going to be judged by what the word of God says, and we had better not cut up the word of God with our thoughts and our actions.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words. He that rejects me and receives not my words. Now, people can either reject him through ignorance,
mm-hmm.
or they can reject him because they don't like what he has to say. But either way, it's the same. Ignorance is not going to be an excuse for rejecting the word of God, and not liking what the word of God has to say is certainly not going to be an excuse for rejecting it. This is what Jehoiakim did, and he did it without fear. And I'm afraid today that we have leaders in our country, leaders in our Congress, leaders in our local government, all the way down to the city that we dwell in, And they're not afraid of God and his word, because we have laws that just keep coming up that will totally diametrically oppose what God has to say.
Exactly. And you know, really, David, our whole reason for being is to fear God.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verses 13 and 14, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You know, David, in your Bibles, you'll notice that word duty is italicized, which means it was added to the text. And so literally the idea is, this is the whole of man. This is what we're here for,
mm-hmm.
to fear God and keep his commandments. And yet that's the very thing America is getting away from, fearing God. We need to fear God. We need to put our faith, hope, trust in him, our obedience, fear him and not man.
It's interesting to note also that we like to call ourselves a Christian nation. And I truly do wish we were a Christian nation. We're certainly not a Muslim nation.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to call ourselves a Christian nation. But in order to be a Christian nation, we've got to be followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what did God say over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? He said, this is the whole of man.
Yeah.
To keep my commandments, the whole duty of man, to fear God and to keep my commandments. This doesn't change just because we get over here into the New Testament.
Exactly. And what we see now, David, then, is that instead of our government and many in our nation abiding by godly principles,
mm-hmm.
and Bible principles, our nation now is cutting up God's word with their law. And
mm-hmm.
there's several things we're going to mention here in a brief way tonight, David, that talks about how our nation is cutting up the Word of God. And what is one of those things, David?
Well, one of the things that we can consider, and we talked about this the other day. By the way, the number to call, and we would encourage you to do so, it's a toll-free number. It's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we're asking the question, and we're going to give the answer. It's going to be apparent to everybody what the answer is here when we get through. Has America become a nation that no longer fears God? Has America as a whole? I know that there are some individuals in this nation that make up this nation that certainly do fear God.
Yes.
And certainly do fear the Word of God. But the nation as a whole, our leadership, and this kind of falls back on the people as well, Tom, mm-hmm. because our leaders are where they are because our people put them there.
You know, if we claim to be a godly nation, and yet by the way the voting went this past year, to me, I would begin to question that mentality just a little bit, because we have voted in a man, and we have voted in people into Congress who are doing anything but mm-hmm. abiding by godly principles with the decisions that they make, and of course, one of them we talked about last week.
Sure, and most of these people are standing obstinately on the other side of what is right according to God. Now, one of those things that we're talking about here, how just consider how our nation is cutting up God's word with our laws. And we talked about this. We talked about this last week, the Roe versus Wade law. This Roe versus Wade law, it came into law that made abortion legal, the legalization of abortion at any time. The only reason that anyone could vote for the legalization of abortion and call it a law, by law we can kill these babies, is because, Tom, they do not fear God.
Exactly. And the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." This children are something important to God, and yet when people murder a child in the womb, it's because, like you said, they don't fear God. And that's what we're talking mm-hmm. about in our lesson today. People do not fear God. Has America become a nation that no longer fears God? Now remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE, and we are talking about, has America become a nation that no longer fears him? And we say yes, because, for instance, the legalization of abortion at any time, for any reason, is because man does not fear God.
Now, I want you to listen, Tom, what God had to say to Jeremiah. And for those individuals who want to claim that what is in the womb is not a child that God knows. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, he takes all of that out of the way. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Now, anyone that could read that and still kill the baby does not fear God.
Exactly. God says it's murder. Man says it's not. The reason man says it's not, because he does not fear God and his word.
Well, we get back to the passage that you read just a moment ago in Jeremiah chapter 36, in Jehoiakim
mm-hmm.
cutting up God's word.
That's what they're doing.
He did not like what God's word had to say, so he cut it up. Now, abortionists, they can rip this passage out of the Bible all they want to, but it will not change the truth of God's word.
Exactly. And you know, another law, David, that is being used to cut up the word of God is how that the laws of the land are using to dismantle God's law on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, in several states in our country, they have legalized with their laws homosexual marriages and the adoption of children in these dwellings. And David, the only reason, the only way that our nation can do such a thing, the only way that lawmakers can do such a thing is if they, well, do not fear God and therefore cut up the Word of God with their ideas.
You know, I've got something that I want to share with the public. By the way, the number to call again is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And along those same lines, we're talking about making laws that dismantle God's marriage, the marriage that God has ordained. In Colorado, just very, very recently, Senator Kevin Lundberg, one of the two Republicans on the Judiciary Committee that voted against this bill, he said this bill that they're trying to pass here is a major step towards seriously eroding the practice and the concept of marriage in Colorado and in the family. And in this bill, this bill that was proposed this year, he says, is even more striking than last year in that that would be those other lawmakers, refused an amendment that I put up that would exempt private child placement agencies from being impacted by this law. And the Democrats refused, saying anyone who is going to place a child in foster care or adoption situations in Colorado cannot refuse a same-sex couple because of moral or religious convictions. They must comply with this force of law.
So what they're saying is you ought to fear the laws of the land and not God.
That's it.
You know, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28? Fear not what man can do to you who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10 and verse 28.
Right.
And so people aren't fearing God. People aren't abiding by his wishes, and they're abiding by the laws of the land. Now, we're talking about, has America become a nation that no longer fears God? We've shown that by the legalization of abortion. We're presently looking at the dismantling of God's law on marriage, how that several states have legalized homosexual marriages and the adoption of children, how they are now saying that these adopting of children is better done by people who aren't Christians. They're saying that in some places around the world, aren't they, David?
Oh, they are. They are. Over in London this last year, they have made a law there which will forbid Christians to be foster parents to children who need homes because of their views on the homosexual agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we see here is making laws, man making laws, that are diametrically opposed to God's laws because they do not fear God, they do not fear his word. Now, just a few instances here. What does God's word have to say about marriage, Tom?
Well, you know, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, from the very beginning, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Nowhere in the beginning of time when God began to set forth this, the home relationship between... It was between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
God even created in the very beginning Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He created Adam and Eve, and that was true from the very beginning. But Jesus tells us more about that, doesn't
he? Yeah, and this is 4,000 years down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think that somebody in those 4,000 years would have adopted some kind of a progressive idea. You know, we don't live back there in that first century anymore, back there in the B.C.s.
Yeah.
You know, we want to bring this forward, and we want to be progressive about it. But Jesus told the law that God gave on marriage, and he told these individuals who were trying to upset the law on marriage, even between a man and a woman. And he says, have you not read that he which made them, this is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
So we've got to hear what God says. Anytime man does not do what God says, because they don't fear him.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting laws, David, about abortion, where God says murder's wrong. Man says, I don't fear you, so I'm going to go ahead and pass the laws of abortion. God says homosexuality is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Man says, I don't fear God, so we're going to pass laws where it's all right for homosexuals to marry and even to adopt children and even to say that Christians are not the right people to adopt. But you know, David, also, when we think about these issues, because people do not fear God, our nation does not fear God, they begin to circumvent the supreme law of the land,
right,
which is the Constitution of the United States of America.
No doubt about that at all. And we see that happening right before our very eyes right now. We talked about this just a little bit, 2-3 weeks ago, when we were talking about the killing that took place in Connecticut, and how instantly we have lawmakers jumping up and down and trying to blame the guns on all of the activity that was there. And now we find our leaders trying to limit the possession and limit access to the right that we are given under the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, the right to bear arms.
Exactly.
Now, what these guys have done is they have declared themselves higher than our supreme law.
Exactly.
If we had a king, which we do not have, but if we had a king, what they would be doing is they would be saying that we are higher than now the king, the supreme lawmaker in the land, but they're not. And so we look at this, and we see Romans chapter 13.
Hello. Tommy Moore, you have a caller.
Well, it sounds like we've got a caller on the line.
For more options, press star.
Hello, you're on the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. If you'll give us your name and comment, we'd appreciate it.
This is Deborah.
Hey, Deborah, how you doing? What's your comment or question?
According to the Bible, as Christians, we're supposed to follow the laws of the land until it crosses the line as what God tells us to do.
Right.
So, we as Christians, we better fear God, and we can't just sit idly by and not make it known. What they're doing is wrong.
Exactly.
We're filthy if we don't do anything, whether it's writing congressmen or Facebooking or whatever. We're guilty if we don't oppose this strongly.
You know, you're exactly right.
Deborah, it sounds like you're...
And also, one more thing about... I'm on the road, so I may cut off.
Okay.
One other thing... We as a nation, we don't know how to blush anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit and watch television and without all of these commercials. It's just embarrassing. There's no shame. There's no blushing. Anyway, that was my two comments.
Well, Deborah, thank you. It sounds like you've been reading our notes because you're about one step ahead of us right here.
But you know, she's exactly right.
You are exactly right, and we really, really appreciate that comment because we're going to get to that in just a moment.
You know, thanks for calling, Deborah. You know, people sometimes wonder why we talk a lot about homosexuality and abortion, because those things are being very much pushed down our throat. Now, we realize there are a lot of other things in our world that people are committing. And we're going to talk about some of those things. But right now, you know, we talk about some things that are very much in the forefront, like last week, Roe versus Wade,
mm-hmm.
40 years ago. That's something we need to talk about. Almost every single day, homosexuality is being pushed down our throats very vehemently. And, you know, opposing something just every now and again that's being pushed down your throat every single day, we need to push back as hard as they're pushing back.
Right.
Now, we don't want to wear people out with the homosexuality and stuff like that, but it's something very powerfully wrong in our nation, and we need to fight against it. But you know, David, also, there are a lot of other sins that are going on in our world because man does not fear God.
Well, you know, there are two God-ordained institutions in this world. One of them is marriage, and the other one is the church. And both of these institutions, ordained by God, are coming under attack by the radical homosexual agenda and the laws that are being passed by our lawmakers to protect their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't understand, I do not understand why that so few people can get so much done when they don't have the majority behind them. I don't understand that, but we live in a land that gets to elect our officials, and we have had this agenda pushed on people that are not even homosexual that agree with them.
Exactly. You know, and Barry makes a pretty good point here on the chat room. It says he realizes it's a hot topic, what we're talking about, but are we willing to do within our own congregations or families, what are we willing to do to address these things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we need to be teaching in our families, in our schools, these evils. But, you know, Dave, when we talk about does America no longer fear the Lord, we're seeing that they're attempting to violate really the Constitution of the United States of America, and really because they do not fear what God has to say about proper respect for the supreme authority of the land, which is our Constitution.
Absolutely.
Well, David, we need to take a little break on the radio station. And we're going to still be on the Internet air, but we're going to take a small break on the HPR Network. You are listening now to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we are broadcasting here from Studio 6 in Stephenville, Texas, We have a toll-free radio telephone number that we want you to call. You can call us live at 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, and you'll get right in through here. You can also get on the chat box. You can listen or follow along also on knowthetruthradio.org, and there's a chat box there. You can write your questions in, and also we've got another call coming on the line. This is one of the things we're going to have to work through, but nevertheless, we're here.
Hello, you're on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. If you give us your name and comment, we'd appreciate it.
This is Steve. I'm the one on the chat box. I just thought I'd give you all a voice.
All right, Steve. You're a great American.
You got any questions or comments for us, Steve?
Well, the comment I was going to make is just testing out your system, but also to let you know that here at our congregation, we keep talking about this.
Uh-huh.
We've got a number of teachers in our congregation. One of the things they keep saying is it doesn't matter what the government does, although we're concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one job is to keep right on teaching what God has given us to teach.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if we're not concerned about it, then we're not going to really teach about it, are we?
Well, that's true. Now, like I said, we need to do everything we can,
right,
in any way that we can. But the best way we can go about that is teaching and making sure the folks we come in contact with know the truth.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and if people aren't going to be willing to stand up for anything if they don't know what to stand up for, are they?
Well, my mother-in-law used to say that all the time. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that's a good point, though, Steve. We appreciate that. You got anything else on your mind?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve, for calling in.
We appreciate you, Steve. Thanks a bunch. Thanks a bunch.
Well, you know, it's true, David, that, we're about to talk about how that we as Christians have allowed God's word to be trampled by the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the laws of the land, David, but even by the way people are living their lives in everyday walks of life. We've seen some of the evils that are going on in our world today. And Steve is right. We need to be teaching one another. But also, as did the prophets.
Right.
They were very adamant in telling the people, you are wrong because you do not fear God.
True. And what I think, Tom, that we have taken on the characteristic of timidity. We have people out here making laws. We have the radical homosexual agenda. We have the radical feminist group. We have the radical pro-choice group out here. And every one of them have an agenda. And every one of them are approaching our lawmakers to make laws that will suit them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have just been back here timid and afraid to say anything and non-aggressive on our part. But this is something that we do not see in the Bible. We don't see a bunch of non-aggressiveness. Uh-huh. And I'm going to back off here until we get this phone call, and we'll take the call and caller.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. We have a caller. If you'll give us your name and comment, we'd appreciate it.
Good evening. This is Denny.
Hey, Denny.
Hey, Denny.
And, how's it going, guys?
Good,
going good.
What
has to do with Romans chapter 1?
Uh-huh.
You know, a moment ago, when you were talking about some of the things the world feels and thinks and some of the attitudes that we have about the Bible, I think a lot of it is people don't know the Bible. They don't understand it. They don't read it. They have so many misconceptions about what it actually says. You know, when you come to Romans chapter 1 and he's talking there about some sinful behavior, including homosexuality, it also deals with people who are backbiters, people who hate God, liars, even people disobedient to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that discussion, in verse 32, it makes it very clear that it's not just those who participate in those things that are going to be held accountable by God. It's even those who approve of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they're worthy or deserving of death. And when you get to chapter 6 and verse 23, it makes it clear that the wages of sin is death. So the problem is, that as we sit by and do nothing, and as the country begins to accept it as normal, we find our own death sentence. We have made it clear that we're standing with sin rather than with God. And so the Christian needs to stand up. The Christian needs to fight for what's right. And we're going to have to be more vocal. We're going to have to vote more. We're going to have to run for office. We're going to have to get involved in our communities. We can't just let these things go idly by. Well, we're going to lose this country and the opportunities that we have to do what's right.
You
so
know,
while we have freedom.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, Denny and Steve both make two very good points, and they really need to work side by side, don't
right.
they, Denny?
Absolutely.
You know, teaching the people, because, and then also not only teaching the common people in your congregation, but also standing publicly opposed to those evils.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things have to be done. You can't do one without the other. You really need both of them, and that's what we need to be doing, right, Denny?
That's absolutely right, and I appreciate you guys for your work on the radio. You know, it's great that we teach it in the local congregations. It's great that we teach our families, but we've got to get that message out to the world, and so I appreciate you doing that, and keep on fighting the good fight and preaching the word.
All right.
Okay.
Appreciate
your
call, Denny.
Thank you a lot for your call. Now, as I was saying when Denny called, we have been timid. And Denny makes the point, we're going to have to start taking a stand. And we've been timid, but we don't see timidity in the New Testament. We don't see it from Jesus. We don't see it from the apostles. We don't see it from the disciples. We do not see timidity and talked about in the way that a lot of people want to view Christianity. All descriptions of Christianity in the New Testament are descriptions of aggression, Tom.
Exactly.
Descriptions of aggression. And that may not fit your mental image of what a Christian is, but you will not find the Lord, you won't find any of his disciples standing around in idleness and allowing things just to take place without saying something
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. And why do we need to say something about it, David? Let's again mention something here. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, it says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable." I'm going to have to stop this
Hello.
Reading for just a second. We get a
Tom
phone call
Moore.
Coming in.
You have a caller. To accept the call.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible, and we just lost a caller. But anyway, we're reading in Romans chapter 3. Beginning in verse 11, we talked about there was those who didn't understand, those who had turned aside. Verse 13 says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shedding blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known." And really that describes everything we've been talking about, David. And the reason is, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
The same problem that happened back there in Jeremiah.
And that's why we need to stand up and try to get people to fear God.
No doubt about it. When we look at some of the things that were written by the Holy Spirit, especially I'm calling into mind 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Where Paul wrote to Timothy, the young Christian, the young man Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind." And he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." We walk around sometimes like we're ashamed of what God said.
Exactly.
Here we have the pro-choice people, and that's a horrible word. It's pro-abortion is what it is, pro-murder individuals. We got them over here, and we act like we're ashamed that God said don't kill the babies.
Exactly, and we're afraid and ashamed to tell our kids what they ought not to be. Again, it's not just abortion and homosexuality, but it's many things.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Tom Moore. You have a caller.
This is the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
Yeah, this is Barry.
Hey, Barry. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've been listening. Of course, y'all been seeing me typing too. But this is, you know, in thinking about where did all this start to break down? It started back when the family began to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Before abortion, homosexuality, things like that became the forefront. It was, hey, let's just dissolve this marriage. We don't like each other anymore. Men quit stepping up and raising their children as God our Father told us to do. And so when we did this, there was no longer that father figure that said, this is the authority in this house. And so, you know, men quit stepping and teaching their children, these things are wrong. If you do them, you are not a part of this family because you are not following God as we all are striving to follow God. And so, you know, when you look at it, it's not one problem or two problems. It goes back, in my estimation, to the fact that for so many years, men did not step up in the family and become the father of or the head of that family and lead as they should. In the same sense, many times we as leaders in the church did not step up and say, this is wrong, and we're going to follow the scripture. And too many times we have soft soap scripture in the name of love.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, in a very loving manner, kindly cleaned the temple one day because they had made the whole temple a house of thieves.
Well, Barry, let me throw this at you. We have forsaken the responsibility for years now as some men to not take up their responsibility as the head of the family. I suggest to you that and the leaders of the church forsaking their responsibility to lead the church according to the Word of God, is this not part of a lack of fear of the Word of God?
I agree. It's not, and for some it's a lack of knowledge.
Well, it could be.
But it's time for men to step up and lead in the church.
Exactly.
It's time for men to step up and lead in the family. And when men become men again, instead of trying to live a childhood their whole life, when men become men and become knowledgeable of the Word and live thereby, then the problems will solve itself not only on the local level, which is where we've got to start. We've got to start with our own families
and with
our congregations. But when we start truly fixing those problems, then guess what? It will permeate from it started from the bottom and went up. It's going to have to start from the bottom and go up again, from us all the way to D.C. It's got to start grassroots at every town, every congregation. We've got to become more evangelical. We've got to become more in teaching with the Word of in accordance with the Word of God and standing up for the truth and really teaching that Word in its power and in simplicity. And when people start soft-soaping it, we have to stand firm and say, you know what, that's not the way it is. Look at this and let the Word teach them.
Exactly.
To do that, we as individuals have to become students of the Word. I'll hang up and let y'all discuss that.
All right, Ty, I really appreciate you calling in there, Barry.
Hey, Barry, I know you're listening. And I just want to make this comment. We're running a little short on time, and so we're going to skip down just a little bit on some of the notes that we made before this program, before we got together with this program. And we want to bring up this point that is the culmination of what we're trying to say here. We began by showing that the reason that things happen in an evil, bad way is because people do not fear the Word of God. That's what the leader Jehoiakim did. Tore up the Bible, cut it with a penknife, burn it up because he didn't want to hear God's Word. As Barry mentioned, we have problems in society. We have problems in our families. We have problems because men do not fear God's Word. God hates divorce. And yet men do not fear God's Word, and they'll divorce at the drop of a hat, men and women alike. They don't care. But when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to take a stand. And this is something that Denny said. This is something that Steve said. This is something that Deborah said. This is something that Barry said, and this is something that we want to say. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are given instructions about how to handle this assault, this all-out assault on God's Word and the lack of fear with it. Have you got that passage
yeah.
there, Tom?
In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, David, all of these tell us that we have an armor to put on,
mm-hmm.
we're in a battle,
mm-hmm.
and we need to stand our ground. We need to stand our ground beginning in our families, like Barry said. That
right.
is the very root of the system. We got to stand up in our families. We got to stand up in the church. We've got to stand up in our communities. We got to stand up in our state. We got to stand up in our nation. We need to stand and let the Word of God be heard.
We've got to contend earnestly for the Word of God. And that word contend means to strive. It means to fight. It means to be aggressive. And we read about this in John and Jude verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And here's why, Tom, mm-hmm. verse number 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men." And here's what they're doing: turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus say back there in John chapter 12, verse 48? "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And when you reject Jesus, you have rejected the word. And if you reject that word, you just don't fear it.
Exactly. And you know, Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ,
mm-hmm.
that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel."
Striving. That means putting up an earnest struggle. We do not do it without aggression.
Exactly. You know, we need to be gentlemen.
Sure.
We want to be Christ-like.
Sure.
And you know, and you don't have to be ugly to stand for what is right. But you have to be firm, and you have to speak the truth.
And you have to be vocal.
You've got to be vocal. You just can't sit back and hope everybody will read your mind.
Right.
You know, we need to do, you know, the access we have now is so wonderful. We can talk over the radio, we can write, you can blog, you can Facebook, you can listen to internet radio. We have so many things that we can do to spread the news. The people out there in the world are spreading the evil.
Mm-hmm.
Should we not, with just as much force, do the opposite and spreading good?
Well, sure. We need to stop saying this is just not the proper time. Because when somebody brings it up, it is the proper time.
It is.
But there's something that we need to say as we close out our program. And one thing I want to do is thank everyone for calling in tonight. I know there were a lot of chat boxers tonight. But the call-ins are special to us. And we want to thank you for that. We thank all of the call-ins. But one of the things that we want our listeners to hear is this. You've got to become a Christian the way that God said you need to become a Christian. And you've got to hear and believe the Word of God. Because without that faith, without that belief, we can't go to heaven, Tom.
Exactly. And we need to be willing to repent of our sins. That means to change our life. If you're not willing to change your life, nothing else is going to really matter because you're going to stay where you've always been.
Sure.
And so we believe in Jesus, and we repent of our sins. We must confess the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's something that most of the world seems to neglect, David.
People want to stick their feet in the ground and stick their heels in the ground when you talk about baptism. But baptism also does now save us. We read this in 1 Peter chapter 2. And also, when we understand what baptism is for, it is for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. Once we are baptized into that watery grave of baptism, into the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, we come up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, with not a sin on our chart, without a sin on our soul. The Lord Himself will add us to the body of the faith.
It has been been great to have you in our audience this week, this evening. We're thankful for our call-iners. We're thankful for Deborah and Steve and Denny and Barry who called in. We're thankful for those who have been going back and forth on the chat box. And we're thankful for all of our listeners at KTATX and KNNK and also those on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you call in, and we're going to let David close us out tonight.
Well, we can save this country, but it's going to take all of us. It's going to take a knowledge of God's Word, and it's going to take some aggression on our part to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks for a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I want to close out by saying, God bless America. God bless our troops. Please read your Bibles.